We have Pastor Leanne is with us. Scott mentioned that. We are so thankful that Pastor Leanne is here. We have not been able to go to Haiti for 3 years. This is our third summer not going. Our hearts are still in Haiti. We still partner with Haiti Outreach Ministries, but we're thankful that he's here. And so in a little while, he's going to come and share God's word with us this morning. And so we are just blessed to have Pastor Leon with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I haven't started yet. I think it was for you guys, this clap. You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
In the early service, I wore a coat because I was a little bit chilled. I'm from Haiti. My blood is thin. And then, you know, all kind of things happen to me when I come to Casper. But some good things, though. I always like to come to this church for the very fact that when I look over there, I always see the Haitian flag. And whenever I see the Haitian flag, I think of Haitians. And I think of freedom. No. Free at last. So good, so good. You've started exposing the Haitian flag for many years, and you've never ceased. This is a good sign, Pastor Ed. I really appreciate that. I appreciate it very much, all of you, for the way that you're supporting the ministry for many years. And I know many of you are really suffering for the fact that you have not been able to go to Haiti for the past almost 3 years. And I suffer from that too as well. I hope the day will come when the door will be open and then you make 3 trips a year to make up for what you have lost. Of course, I always bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Haiti, from your sponsoring children that you're sponsoring. They are growing, and many of you will be surprised to see the children that you have not seen for 3 years, how they have grown. And I just can't wait to see that happens. I bring greetings from my daughter. Some of you probably not know that, or you heard about it. My daughter is now living in Lynchburg, Virginia. She got married last January. And then the guy took my daughter away from me. And I was very upset with him. And he said, no, Pastor Leon, you didn't lose your daughter. You gained a son. I said, you smart. You good. You could marry her. So they're now living in Lynchburg, Virginia, and can't wait to go back to Haiti to serve the Lord there and pray for them. As you know, they're still on the honeymoon time. I talk with her just about every day. You could tell that she's in love. And he is too, by the way. I'm not surprised he's in love, but he is truly in love. So pray for them. I also talk with my wife even this morning before I come to church. I share to her that I'm going to speak, and she said, let's pray together because I want to pray for you so that the Lord will use you to bring a great message so that the people will feel that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And I told her, but you know, they may not understand what I'm saying. She said, they'll understand some. Whatever they understand, that's what they're responsible for. What you don't understand, you're not responsible. But what you understand, you have responsibility to put it into practice. I would love for you to know that although you have not gone to Haiti for the past 3 years, but things are happening. And I'm sure some of you, the news you hear about Haiti from CNN or Fox or the local news, there's so much more than that, okay? You are not on vacation at the Sunday school class, but I want you to know that the churches are still alive in Haiti. Schools are still going. The medical clinic is still open. As a matter of fact, we have more staff working at the clinic. We have more students graduating from the different schools, even the vocational school. Next Friday, we're going to graduate close to 250 students in our vocational schools. all because of your partnership. So I thank you very, very, very much. Don't give up on Haiti. As a matter of fact, all that you heard about Haiti, what's going on, is a sign that we need help. We need help. This is not the time to say, fooey, there's no hope for it. We need you, and keep praying for us so that the Lord will use us to even do greater things in the future. And I always say to my friends, the best is yet to come in Haiti, even in the States, in the world, because God is alive. No matter what you hear, wherever it is, God is alive, and He's got the last word. He's got the last word. So we don't always understand how He works, but we know He holds the future for us Christians. So thank you very much again for coming to worship. Thank you very much for your partnership. And now I would like to share with you a portion of the scriptures from the Word of God. And Ephesians chapter 2, a very familiar passage that you well know. You've read it, you memorize it, especially the verse 8 and 9 and 10. But I'd like to read the first 10 verses in chapter 2, Ephesians. I'm reading from the NIV, and I don't know what version you are using, but please follow with me as I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressing in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you very much for your word. It's always here to give us light, strengthen our faith, give us direction. Lord, we pray that the people who come to church this morning come to hear you. They have seen you by seeing their friends, their brothers and sisters. They have heard you already through the songs that we sung. And now, Lord, use us so that the word that will be exposed from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, might enlighten their hearts and energize them to fall in love more with you and to go about your business. Use us to do best you know how. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you don't get anything that I said this morning, I want to make sure you get this one. You and I are saved to serve. We are saved to serve, not the other way around. We cannot earn our salvation. You don't serve so that you may get to heaven. Because God has prepared heaven for you, because God has rescued you, because God has saved you from where you were. By His grace, now He asks every single one of us to show our appreciation to the work that He Himself did for us on Calvary. Now we live as people who are saved to serve him, to show him how much we care, how much we appreciate the salvation that he has freely given to us in Jesus Christ. These 10 verses in Ephesians 2 expresses the life of the Christian. The life we were living in the past when we didn't know Jesus Christ. The life that we are called to live now. And the life that is to come in the years to come. And how we should wait for that life while we are waiting for the greater life. This is what we see in these 10 verses. And God used Paul to express us that so freely, so well, because he himself had experienced the life before, the life in Christ, the life in the world, the life to come, and how we're supposed to live the life while we're waiting for the life in heaven with God. Let's think. See, first of all, the first 4 verses reminds us how we, before we come to Christ, even if you were born in the Christian family, we've seen this morning, even if we were born in the Christian family, as a baby, as a child, we did things that did not please God. We did. I did. I'm sure you did. Maybe I did more than you did, but we all did, one way or the other. And we all needed that cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to bring us back into relationship with God. And it's so interesting how God, from the very beginning, before you and I were born, he had planned for you. He had planned for you. But sometimes we don't listen to God's plan for us. We make our own plan. And that's why we mess up. When we try to live the life as if it's our own life, as if you give yourself life, eh? And we mess it up. This is my life. I want to live it the way I want to live it. When was it your life? Your mother, your father will tell you, you were miraculously born. Even that life was a gift from God. Like the psalmist said, God had formed you in your mother's womb without you knowing and having anything to do with it. And now, through disobedience, we claim that life is ours. That's just true. The life is a life that God gave to you for a purpose. The purpose is to live for him and to be a witness to him wherever we are in whatever we're doing. But God, in his great love and his mercy, we mess it up, but he had planned for us. He said, I'm not going to let you live in that mess. I will come and rescue you. That's what we see in verse 4-6. God, in his great love, he came and rescued us. Said, you're heading to the wrong direction. That was not my intention for you. And I'm not going to give up on you, no matter what. Even if it takes my own life to save your life. To my son Jesus Christ, I will rescue my life. That's what he did. In these 10 verses, so how many times in Christ Jesus, with Christ, God has rescued us and made us the type of person that he wanted us to be. Really, there's a reason for us to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the life that you're giving me now. Because if it were up to me, I would mess it up. There's no way. I couldn't do it on my own. Thank you for coming to do it for me. He not only did it for us, we are enjoying the relationship that we have in Christ now. But when I see what is happening on verse 7, it seems to me that this is an appetizer. The entry, the meal is waiting for us. There's yet to come. You think your life in Christ now is good? Wait till Jesus Christ come back and pick up his church to be with him forever. There's a better life here with us all. So it's all worth it to live the life for Jesus Christ and the life that he was meant to be. My friend, someone told me, or I read somewhere, that God has threefold purpose for us and for every single one of us. The threefold purpose is that once God wants you to get out of this world, to come into his world and take the world out of you. And once he takes the world out of you, that's what we call the process of sanctification. He took the world out of you. And he said, now that you are a newborn, now that you have a new life, I'm going to put you back to the world to be a light and to be a salt in the world that you were in. Take you out of the world, take the world out of you, send you back into the world as a light and a salt, so that the world at large will have the experience that you experience in Jesus Christ. And that's exciting life, let me tell you. It is an exciting life when you know God is using you so that others will know him. I've made experiences in my life and the ministry, but I tell you there are two young men, whenever I see them in the church, I say, Lord, it was worth it to serve you. Because I know these two guys, if it were not for the gospel preached, then they hate him. There's no way they could be the person that they are today. So whatever you find yourself doing, wherever it is, in classrooms, in your job, in your community, the neighborhood that you live in, remember, you are God's representative. The world needs you. The world needs you. And if you could only remember, if you were not for the intervention of God in your life, where would you be? You don't want that for the others also. So live that life. It's not only that. What's so interesting about this whole passage, where you were, where you are now, and what is waiting for you, but what God is doing right now at this moment in your own life and in my life. I'll never forget my teacher when I was in Bible college a long, long time ago in the 70s. He said, when the Bible says that we are God's handiwork, we are God's workmanship, I'm sure you've heard of Michelangelo, great artist, great pictures. But he's not like Michelangelo. Once he made the picture is finished, it's exposed, and he cannot work on it anymore. But as for us, God is working in our lives every single day to make us the beautiful you, the beautiful me that he wants. He wants you to say yes to him. Let him work in your life as an artist to make his handiwork beautiful. I'm so glad I'm not the Christian that I was 10 years ago. I'm a better one now. Thank God for his work in my life. I'm so glad that I'm not even the Christian that I was last year. Because God is still working in me to make the beautiful me that he wants. But we're not a canvas. We have free will. We have to collaborate with him. And that's where the danger is. But you know, I remember when I was still on my 8 days in Christian life, Some of you were living in the 70s. I don't see too many of you. see too many of you, but few. You remember, or some of you have heard the hippie days? Have you heard about the hippie days? Some of you experienced the hippie days. I did. The hippie days. But there are some things, some things that they used to say in the 70s that stick with me. And I used to have the stickers in my car and then in my study. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiving. We're not perfect. We're forgiving. God's still working in everyone's life because he wants us to be more perfect tomorrow than we are today. We are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. He's working in your life to see a more beautiful you. I'm so happy that he's still working in our lives today, and he will never give up on us. Never. He's got too much love for us. Remember, we are created by him. Yes. Lord Jesus, come and do your work with us. You know, not only the first 10 verses talk about the life, the past life, the present life, and what is awaiting us, and what God is doing right now with us. But there are two connecting words that I would like to bring your attention to in this passage. One of the connecting words, we find it in verse 4. Verse 4. After the first three verses show the sad picture that the kind of life we were living. And then in verse 4 he said, But God, to his love, because of his great love and his mercy, but God. Very interesting connecting word, but God. I hope and pray you have your own but God time in your life. I hope you had your own but God experience in your life. But God moment. I wouldn't be here if it were not for that but God moment. I wouldn't have the life, the wife that I have, if it were not for but God moment. Or the husband, or the children that I have, the grandchildren, but God moment. What is your but God moment? I think it is very important that each of us remember our own but God moment. God intervened and are never the same anymore. But God moment. Look at me. I'm in church today because of my but God moment. I'd like for you to think of that connecting with but God. The other one is that we find it so that in verse 9. God has done all these things with you. I could vividly remember my Greek teacher. He said, remember this word, ina. So that, therefore, in order that, why all this experiencing that God wants you to have with him, so that, why God has blessed you, so that you may be a blessing to others. God started to say that with Abraham. Abraham, I will bless you. What? So that, in order that you might be a blessing to other nations. God has blessed me with a passion to serve him so that other people might hear the gospel of Christ. God has blessed Brother Scott with a beautiful talent to play music so that when you come to church, worship experience may not be the same. God has blessed Pastor Ed with a passion to serve him so that when you come here, you'll hear. God has blessed this young girl. I'm very, very impressed. I tell you what, those of you who have not been going to Haiti for a while, I'm praying very hard when I go back. I'm going to be on a mission. I'm going to start encouraging the girls to play drums. I'm really encouraged and inspired by the girls playing drums. We don't see that in Haiti. And I'm asking my question, why? And it's going to say, why not? So I'm going to do some recruitment. So guys, hold on to your seat. Next time you go to Haiti, if you see a girl playing drums, it's because of you. Because there are talents you have that are wasted. Ina, God bless you with a talent so that others could be blessed. God bless you with a good voice. God bless you, whatever it is, so that. In closing, let me tell you, do you know the Lord has never, ever, ever in all of the scriptures blessed anyone for your own self? Have you ever thought of that? Oh, I'm blessed. Yes, you are blessed. Why? So that you could be a blessing to others. You are blessed so that. You are blessed in order that somebody else could be a blessing, could be blessed as well. My friend, I love you so much, you know that. I have so much to do, but time is limited. I have so much to share with you, but you know, you get what I was trying to say. Saved to serve. If you don't hear everything else that are trying to say the same thing in different ways, remember this. You are saved to serve. And I think you could remember that, right? There are lots of words that I said with my French accent you didn't quite pick up, but I think you all picked that one up. You are saved to serve. May God bless you as you go out to serve him in whatever capacity that you can do it. Thanks for listening to me. Amen.